Well, today is what we do once a year. We do this thing that we call Mission Sunday, and that is that we present the missionaries that we support, and we also give updates on different people that have gone out, we interview and different kind of things like that. For me, it's a highlight of the year. But I want you to understand why we do this. It's not so that we can just get money. That's really not the issue really at all, even though money really doesn't matter in this. But what matters is that you and I learn how to live for something bigger than ourselves.
Amen.
We must get a vision for something bigger than ourselves. And there's no better way than to partner with people that are doing work in all kinds of other areas in a wide spectrum of different work. It causes us to, if you will, lose our lives to find it. When we participate, when we give, when we partner, when we pray, we are losing our lives, and as we do, Jesus said we would find it, and we find something bigger to be about than simply ourselves. America is about ourselves. That's what America is really all about. It's, we're about freedom and the expression of individuality and all those different things. There's a good side to that, and there's a devastatingly bad side to that. And that is that when we're living for ourselves, we're living bankrupt. And so I want to call you today to look beyond yourself. I want to ask you to ask the Lord, as we go through these different things, I want to ask you to ask the Lord, would you speak to me? What's my part? How can I start to play in the larger scheme of things, Lord? How can I start to invest my life, my time, my energy, my money, and in things that you are doing all over the planet? We're going to have a lot of different things. Your imagination should go wild. My hope is that. But I want to ask that you would be thinking about that. Lord, what's my part? Now, it doesn't matter what age that you are. You could be, retired and having a great time in retirement, but the Lord might be saying, hey, I'm calling you up, because actually a lot of times people that are going through retirement now have all this time that they can go invest in world missions. So again, I want to ask that you would just be asking the Holy Spirit. He's the one that created everything, and so he's got lots of imagination and creativity about things. I want to ask that you and I would ask the Lord to speak to us, and we simply would be obedient to whatever God is saying. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So let's pray. Lord, as we get going on this morning, we ask you for your grace to rest on us. I want to ask you, Lord, for a freedom from guilt motivation in this, and instead that you would inspire us with the breath of heaven, that you would inspire us with your breath, Holy Spirit, and that we would get excited because you are doing something inside of us. I want to ask that you would not leave us alone, but that you would include us as a church and us as individuals and as families in the work that you're doing on this earth. Speak to us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to firstly invite our the director of our missions team, Tom Verloo. Could you give him a hand? I'm going to be sort of your MC for tonight, or for this morning. I just want to give you a little bit of the way that we're going to do this morning. The first thing we're going to do is we'll be talking about updates, and different people have gone on mission trips this year. And so we'll do some updates and some interviews and the updates. Then we'll move from that into some dreams that we have in terms of things that we would like to be involved in. And then from there, we'll go from dreams to opportunities and ways that we can respond. So that's the general roadmap of what we're doing. Got anything you want to say initially here, Tom?
That's basically it. We want to, over the years, we have been supporting missionaries, and it's because of the generosity of everybody in this church and this body that we've been able to do that, and hopefully we'll continue to do that for many, many years to come. So thank everybody for your support for the missions that we do support.
Absolutely. Well, firstly, and as we welcome each one of our guests here for our talk show, would you please welcome warmly and loudly Jody Malone. Hi, Jody.
Hello, everyone.
Jody has been actually two times into the Middle East, and this year she went to Lebanon. What can you tell us about your trip there?
Yes, I went in the fall of 2016 to Egypt,
I love that trip. I went with E3 Partners, and I had an opportunity last June to go to Lebanon. And so let me just give you a little background about that. E3 Partners goes into areas and partners with local pastors, churches. They're big in church planting all over the world, not just the Middle East, but there's a lot going on in the Middle East, and that's where God led me. I happened to go on a medical mission trip, and I'm not a medical person at all, but I love to serve, and I love to serve the Lord, and there's lots of opportunities to do that on these trips. So I went to Lebanon. We partnered with a church there that was absolutely fantastic and dynamic. I can't tell you that our little team of, you know, 8 to 10 people went in and changed the world, but together with a church overseas, we had people from, we had godly men from Jordan who came in as translators. Together, we worked and we visited, we had a medical team that had a clinic for the week, but at night we went out and visited in the Syrian refugee camps. So these are Muslims that were fleeing for their lives from Syria and came in. I'm sorry?
I'm just asking Tom to back up just a little bit. Sorry.
Oh.
People in the wings could see it.
So we went into the Syrian refugee camps and met with people and brought the hope of Jesus. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful and fruitful thing because the Lord was working. The Lord prepares the way for these trips. He opens up the opportunity. He's working, and he asks us to partner with him where he's working, where he knows the hearts are receptive. He prepared the people ahead of time. We didn't have any problems with security. We didn't have any dangerous situations. You go in, you're a little bit nervous, but God prepares the hearts, and he asks for us to be the hands and the feet and the voice that carries the gospel to these people.
And so with that, so it occurs to me that I think that one of the things that we don't really get in the West is that we, even though we're having all of these debates about healthcare and different kind of things of that sort, there are large groups of people in the world that have no healthcare whatsoever, and so they get sick, they get different kind of things, and it just stays and stays and stays. And so it's a giant bridge builder to come in, you know, with a medical team and to be able to start building bridges. Is that basically
that, yes, that's right. That's what it's kind of like a big sale day here. You know, you want to get the people into the store and you have a big sale, and this is a way that we attract a lot of people as we bring in free medical supplies. There's doctors, nurses, you know, medicine is dispensed. There's no surgery or anything like that with these trips, but it brings in Christians, it brings in Muslims, it brings in people that would never set foot within a church, and we love on them. You know, they're from the moment they walk in the door, their children are loved on, the women are loved on, the men are very cautious and guarded, but they, you can see them, you know, open up, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Even during the clinic, the doctors, the nurses are all, we have an eyeglass clinic for reading glasses. During that time, the gospel is preached to people, the people are prayed over. And we had quite a few, we had probably 20 or 25 people within the clinic itself that prayed to accept Christ. So, it's just an amazing thing, and it's beautiful. It's a blessing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I've got a question too, Jody. I know you know, you're reaching and you're touching all these people, and that's you know, you're working in the lives of these people. Personally, how did that impact you? What does that do for you?
Well, I guess one of the things that I realized is people are the same all over the world. People want to be loved. They want to be respected, especially children. You know, my love. you can go in and you can play with children and you can connect with them. It doesn't matter if you speak their language. You know, they love to have you pray for them. They love for you to touch and hold their hands and and hug them. You know, that reaches people. People will connect with you on that level, even if you can't speak a word that they understand.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, and would you recommend anybody else? I know that Linda Newsom also went with the Three Partners this year, but it's a great organization to connect with, both just on an individual level or with a small group. So,
yeah, I would say, you know, I don't want to discount the importance of supporting ministries. That's something that I felt like, you know, I could be involved at when I was working full time. But if God speaks to you, there's something in your life that He's preparing you for that you can share. You can always share your story. That was one of the key things that we took over there as we met with the Syrians. We listen to their story and we share our story. And God has delivered everyone here from something. You may think, well, I'm not a drug addict. I didn't have these problems, but there are so many things that God delivers you from. He may deliver you from fear. He may deliver you from depression. Those are all things that people all around the world experience. And you can take that story, and it touches lives, and God uses that for His glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, David.
So, hi, and what we're going to do is a couple little interludes here. One of the missionaries that we support is David Skeet. Ben Skeet spoke here last week, and his father has been a career YWAM, really YWAM-affiliated missionary in doing relief work. Can you give us a little bit of an update on that, Tom?
Yeah, David is the director of an agency called Australian...
Go back. Okay. Australian Mercy.
Australian Mercy. And a little funny story, side note, it was originally called Australia Relief and Mercy Services, but every time somebody tried to Google that up, they would get arms dealers. So he decided that maybe Australian Mercy is a better acronym for that. So David, the organization, what they do is they do relief, emergency relief, if there's a hurricane, particularly in the South Pacific or in Asia. They're one of the first responders. They go in there, they try and bring in medical relief, they try and do just whatever needs to be done, kind of like a Red Cross does here in the United States. But they go to the different areas in Asia and provide this kind of relief. Also, he had an unfortunate accident during the summer where he also volunteers in Tasmania where he lives to go to emergency relief. They were having some problems with heavy winds and rains. He fell off a ladder and fractured his knee. So we got a message from him not too long ago that he is recovering. He's hoping to go in February. I know that for those of you who have heard him speak, he goes to a place in Burma called May Lai, I never pronounce it right. But at any rate, it's a refugee camp for Karen refugees right on the Thai Burmese border, where they have a refugee camp that they go in and feed them, so, you know, bring rice and fish and things, as well as feed them. And he also is involved in one of the things that we get involved with him in, and he is, again, one of our original supported ministries, organization that's called Buzz Off, where they go in with anti-malarial relief that goes into these areas that where malaria is a serious problem. And they have malarial testing kits, they have malarial drugs that will help recover from those. And they do that in Burma. He's hoping to go in February. So that's something that we can be praying for him about. And he's also hoping to go in the summertime, in June, July period, to Indonesia, which is just a large archipelago of islands just north of Australia. That is a heavily Muslim country. It's the largest population of Muslims in the world. And they're gonna try and go in there. And what they do with the Buzz Off is they go in with these medical teams, but they train Christians to take the malaria relief into the villages. And that way they're bringing the gospel with them as they're going. So he's hoping to get that set up in Indonesia this summer. And one of the issues they have there is with the Muslims, a lot of times they go into these villages they recruit, take the kids out, send them to mosques where they radicalize them. So it's a real opportunity to reach people in these countries. It's in fact where he's going is Papua New Guinea, which is, I don't know, a couple of years ago we had Don Richardson who wrote The Peace Child. It's that area that he's going into. So that's what Australian Mercy does. And we, again, are partnering with David on going ahead and reaching out through Australian Mercy to the people in the world. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And with that YWAM connection, next we want to invite up, would you warmly welcome Ben Johnson.
Amen.
Here's your mic, there's your stool. And those are your extremely cool shoes. He does these custom shoe things, and that's his business. So this is like a shameless promotion of that without saying anything.
Hey guys.
There you go. Oh, what's that? Oh. Ben is actually one of a number of our people who have been to YWAM and been a part of a DTS, a discipleship training school, and an outreach. And we saw, and actually in a number of the people from our church that have gone on that, we've seen a pretty significant before and after. You are like a really significant before and after. So tell us about that.
For those of you that don't know, YWAM is pretty much a place that they have locations all over the world, from LA to Germany to, I didn't mind in Hawaii. I think that's kind of what got me to go.
Suffering for Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a suffering.
It's probably Hawaii pushed together. But anyways, so they pretty much, they build up young and old people, really. It's called Youth with a Mission, but it's from all ages, really. They pretty much, just build up people to go out to the nations and pretty much just proclaim the gospel. So I did a 6-month program. You can do different shorter ones or whatever, but mine was a 6-month one where pretty much for the first 3 months, they taught you everything about pretty much relearning the simple gospel, and then everything from just, learning who the Holy Spirit is and like how to hear from God and just pretty much just learning. For me, I was pretty, wasn't really following the Lord before, and so it was kind of all new to me. And so for the first time, I actually met the Lord one of the first nights there, and it all just became real to me. For the first time, I was reading the Bible, and the gospel was real. I was like reading these things because I actually felt like I had an encounter with the Lord on these nights. And so from then on, it was just like, everything I was reading, like, was coming alive, and things were happening, and it was pretty radical. So that's pretty much essentially what I'm going to make. For 3 months, teach you pretty much about the Bible and who Jesus really is to you and how you could teach that to other people. And so then the next 3 months, they send you out to the nations and just, you put everything you've learned pretty much into practice and into action and just see what God does. So.
Where did he send you? Where did they send you on the outreach?
I got sent out to South Africa. So I always wanted to go there as a kid. I love soccer. And so that's always been a dream of mine. So when that kind of popped up, I just knew it was from the Lord. I felt like, I was like, all right. Literally, that's like the one place I like always wanted to go. So that place kind of popped up, and I was like, boom, like, let's go. And I was so hungry for the Lord. And just things are happening that I've never seen. The first time I laid my hands on someone, like, they got healed, and it was just like, what? Like, this is real. Like, let's go, So, and I had like a whole team behind me to back me up. And so, just going to the nations with that kind of mindset that they know that the Lord is real and he's working, he wants to, like, we're just, it seems so, like, hard, like being a missionary, you get to do all this stuff, but it's so simple. It's just a simple gospel you take. And these people, like Jody said, they're all the same. They just want to hear the good news, and you have that. So it's pretty simple to just, like, go out and just, God's real, we pray for you. And just, when you do that and just let God work, and when he does radical things, and I saw things like she said, that just no one will be able to take that away from me,
Would you recommend this for any young, middle-aged, or old people here?
Yeah, I recommend it for anyone. I mean, it's just a place to fully disconnect from where you're at and just fully connect with God. And I'm not saying you can't do that here, but it's definitely a place that for that time, and it's a short time that you can just take away from your whole life and just fully connect with God and just see, you know, to meet Him on a personal level and just, for young kids especially, I mean, it's just, you're young, why not go travel and see the world? That alone will pretty much open your mind and just change you. But for the young people, I just encourage you to, just go out and do it, because why not, you know, just experience God for yourself if you're kind of a real level if you want to.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed. Great that the kids are up at camp this weekend, but they're the ones that need to hear this bit. Yeah. So I hope you take the opportunity to go share that with the youth groups.
Yeah. So to give you guys a little bit of imagination in this too, just to encourage your friends and your kids and different other families, that a lot of times when young people graduate from high school, a lot of times they may or may not be ready to go to college. Sometimes people will call that a gap year, where before you engage in something else, you'll do something that kind of stretches you and stretches your worldview and a whole bunch of different things like that. Wyoming is like one of the prime examples of
things. Yeah, similar to the college experience too. You live in like a dorm room thing and pretty much go to like the college classes every day. But
yeah,
it's a good experience.
Yeah, I want to attest to that. You came back a different guy, and it's really good. Yeah. Thank you. So another little interlude, thank you, Ben. Another little interlude of this is that one of the missionaries that we support is Christina Sanders. And Christina she had a conviction. I don't have any pictures of her, so that's not her on the right or anything like that. Those are just general sex trafficking kinds of pictures. But she, in the NC-17 version or PG version or whatever at that, Christina basically just began to feel like the Lord was calling her to go to do something, be a voice and to be the hands and feet of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, went against the sex trafficking trade that's so prominent in the world. Just so that you know, with the sex trafficking issue, there are quite a bit more slaves in existence on this planet now, but it's like 45 million, although it's very hard to get a count of that. But there are way more slaves on the planet right now than there were when we were fighting to eradicate slavery from our culture. So it's a really big deal. So give us an update on what's going on.
Yeah, just a little update on Christina, and if any of you know Scott and Lynn Sanders, it's their daughter over in Cambodia in Phnom Penh. I think I'm pronouncing that right, but that's close. At any rate, when she went over there several years ago, she started a place called Sophia's House, where she basically recruited girls that were out in the villages to come in, have a safe place to live and go to school. And most of the girls that she had brought in originally, they have all graduated, they've gone on to careers or additional schooling. And so she kind of felt led to move to a different organization. It's called XM Missions, where it's more involved with trying to save girls that are out on the streets with sex trafficking, slavery. And so she works with this organization. They try and have schools to educate. She's the director of their educational opportunities, I think is what they call it, and also a financial accountant for the organization. But it's also in Phnom Penh. She's more individual and on her own right now, although she still needs ministry support. So we do support her through an organization called Hope Haven Foundation. And but she's just, like Bob said, kind of took it, got the call of God to go there, and she's over there serving, and it is involved with this organization now. It's a little bit closer to what her heart was when she originally went there. So we're glad to be able to help support Christine and Christina, and to keep that mission alive. Yes.
Along with that, when we were Becky and I were in India and Vietnam, we were in India first, and then flew to Vietnam via Bangkok. And so we got on a plane in Delhi, flew to Bangkok, and then caught a connecting flight to Hanoi. And the flight was full of young guys going to Bangkok for trouble in that weekend. And it was really disturbing. I overheard a number of conversations. Thailand is a very big sex trafficking capital, really, and it was extremely disturbing. So using that as a segue here, Becky and I to India, and we're gonna hear from Becky. Would you give her a oh, I'm gonna kiss. Woo! So, oh, there you go. Yeah. So I'm gonna let you do the talking here because you know what you want to say. But you all sent us to India for a week and then Vietnam for a week. We did a couple. Well, why don't you tell us about that? What were your highlights?
Okay. So the first thing I think, as I was reflecting back on some high points and learning points for me, was it started with availability. Bob and I have always been praying, Lord, use us, spend us, however you want to do that. And in the last couple years, he started to move us into something that's very unique for us as a couple, because we've always done our thing individually, but now he's starting to pull us together. And so part of this, the last 2 years of going out, have involved us making ourselves just available. And the second thing was opportunity. Opportunity started to come up where we were invited 2 years ago to Vietnam to do some training on marriage and counseling, and then invited back again, and then that expanded to India where we had some relationships as well. But us just saying, okay, you know, the opportunity is there, praying about it, and then the second part was the resources of seeing the Lord really come through and provide amazingly. The first year we got so much response from you that made enough for us to go back the second year without even having to seek out any resources. So we knew that the Lord was saying, okay, this is an investment and I'm planning and I'm making it available ahead of time for you. So that was helpful for us to say, are you in this? Do you want us to go back? It was really clear that he had already provided. So that was really cool. And then the second big point was seeds that are sown in our lives. 25 years ago, we had the leader of the movement in India stay at our home, and he had an opportunity. Bob had known him and had been to India several times, but he had prayed over our children, prayed over Bob and I. And one of the things that he prayed 25 years ago was, Bob and I had gone through a really difficult time in our marriage, a lot of brokenness, a lot of pain, and he spoke and prayed into us that the Lord was gonna, it was like a beam that had broken in the center and was splintered, but the Lord was now coming and undergirding it with a steel beam, and he was gonna make it even stronger and use that. 25 years later, lots of life, lots of experiences, lots of growing, lots of educating, a lot of things brought us to the place where now the Lord was cashing in on those seeds that were sown and on his investment in us. And so it was time for us to say, all right, we're ready to give back, and seeing the Lord saying it's time to step up. And so one of the things that he has really spoken to us and the main seed is relationship and connection, not only in marriage, but with him and what that looks like. So it's been a process of seeing him put together pieces of, one, our relationship with him, how that works in connection with specifically our husbands or wives, mostly in our families. And so that was the message that we've started to go out and give, is about this connection. What does that connection look like? How does it work in a marriage? How does it work in our families? And so it's really been a matter of being faithful with the seeds that he's put in us, because that's our message. That's something that the Lord has built over years in our lives, and now we're giving back from what he's given us. So it's not a comparison over, I'm not like them, or I don't do it like they do, or I don't have that, what do I have? No, it's, this is what he's given me, this is what he's given us, and so now we're giving back those seeds and planting them that are unique to us. So encouragement for you, it's not about, I don't look like this person, or I don't know what I have to give, but going to the Lord and saying, what have you put in me? What is mine to give? And just being faithful with that small seed of what that looks like. And so there was desperation for us. It's such a strange feeling to get on a plane in LAX, you know, sleep, watch 7 movies in a row, and, you know, then...
Which I loved. I caught up on all of my movies. It was great.
And then step off into a different world, you know, a different culture, different language, different everything, different food. You know, and it's just a week of Indian food.
After India was like, oh, I can't have another one of those.
I do not want any more spice or chicken anyway. But so going into that, it feels surreal because you feel like this is me and I'm going to these people that I have no connection with, no relationship. Do I even have something valuable to give them? And then it was so beautiful to see that you would start to look into their eyes, and especially the women, you know, for me, speaking and looking into their eyes and just making connection and holding their gaze, and there was no language barrier. We knew, we felt we were the same, like Jody was saying, we're the same everywhere. We're, you know, our needs, the desires, the way that God has made us are the same. And so we could speak that language together and care for them really well. And it was a really beautiful thing that by the time you would finish a week of being with people both in India and Vietnam, the women would just come and they would just hold me. And I mean, they would hold me, they would not let go. And they would just hold me and look at me and say, pray for me. And so I would just pray over them and in English, and sometimes there was an interpreter, sometimes there wasn't an interpreter, and it didn't matter. But there was this connection that happened because of how God has made us and what we were giving, the seeds that we had, and then how it was being, you know, received in them. So, sorry, I have to finish.
Okay, just wrap it up.
So I think the whole thing, sorry, I don't usually prepare, so that's maybe why I have more to say. But I think, if anything, is just being faithful to what the Lord has given you. That can be praying. That can be emotional support. I mean, we were woken up at 3 o'clock every morning and would just start praying for what the Lord wanted to do. And I know that people here were praying because that was 3 in the afternoon for you guys. And we needed that support. And so that was huge for us, and the resources to get there. And just there's so many ways that you contribute, whether you're the one that's actually doing it, but in your workplace, in your families, in your homes, and everything that you're doing now, God has given you something. Be faithful to give it and let Him then bless it.
Amen.
Okay, and then just a shameful plug for the marriage workshop that we're doing coming up. It's about connection. It's about how to make your relationships, how to make them deeper, fuller, richer, more connections, so that I don't think there's anybody in here that's married that wouldn't say that they want more. And so that's what this is about, is again just us giving what the Lord has been teaching us, showing us, and handing it off to you and letting it take root wherever it can, and whatever piece sticks, great. And so that's that.
Thank you. I didn't need to ask any questions.
You know, I'd like to add one thing to what all three of them have been emphasizing, and that's when we go out and serve in the mission field, like they've been talking about, we're over there encouraging people that are on the ground there every day. And that's maybe, you know, the most important touch that we're giving them, is that encouragement to go out, that they're not alone, that they have our prayers, that they have our support. So that's, you know, something else to consider when you go on these things. That's one of the things that touches you in your heart.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that the people that are boots on the ground in all of these remote locations, that they're, and IET, Indian Evangelical Team, is basically, there are lots of organizations that are trying to plant churches in the cities. The Indian Evangelical Team is not interested in that. There are, the lion's share of the populace in India are in villages, and really nobody wants to go to them. So they plant 1,100 churches a year. They have a really massive organization, and we're ministering to the second tier of leaders and overseers and that whole thing, and really kind of amazing. And they're so encouraged when we come there and serve them and love them. And the women, you know, hold on to Becky. The guys, just, you know, when they find out that my love language you know, physical touch. They just like almost fondle me and molest me because they just think it's so funny. Because, yeah, I'm like, God.
People's sense of personal space is different in other
cultures. And in that neck of the woods, man, there's no, this is personal space violation number one. It's like, really, you're a little too close to me. You're just too close talking to me. All right, so the quick update on Tony Heredia.
Many of you remember Tony was here, brought the message last June, I think, when Karis got married. At any rate, it was nice seeing Tony. We have been supporting Tony, I think, originally since the missions ministry started years ago, too. Tony has been an introduction to us to a lot of the churches we have down in Baja, California. He's part of an organization called Christians in Action. And in fact, I think Teresa used to be part of that Christians in Action, and she knew Tony from before. At any rate, Tony's a director that goes all over Central Mexico, Central America, and South America. And they have many, many churches that they go down and help support in Baja, in Sonora, in Oaxaca, and then down through Central America. I know he's from Panama last year, and Colombia, and even Peru. So he's got his hands on a lot of different people in a lot of places, and we're, you know, he tells us, wherever I go, know that you are with me because of our relationship with Tony over the years. But one of the most important things that Tony did is I know that I believe Layman and Margaret had already established a relationship with Pastor Ramon down in Ensenada, and that's where they connected with Tony. And then he directed us to La Misión, to Pastor Tomas Guerrero in La Misión. And many of you have gone down with us to the short-term trips that we take down to Baja. I've got to admit, we stalled a little bit last year, and we're hoping to remedy that this year. I did get a note a couple of weeks ago from Pastor Tomas encouraging us to come down, and then also in a message from Tony Heredia that Sammy Soki, I don't know, some of you might have gone down, we helped construct a new roof on their Sunday school classes down in Ensenada. It needs some re-roofing and a little bit of rehabilitation, and he was encouraging us to go down and see Pastor Sammy and go down there and maybe be part of that. So hopefully in the next month or so, we'll have some news of an upcoming trips to go down to Baja, to both La Misión this year, and to Ensenada. It's an easy opportunity. It's you know, a couple hours away. It's a weekend trip, so it's not a big step out on your part, but it's a chance to go down there and, like we were talking about, touch people that are in these communities. So I would encourage you that when those opportunities come up, please reach out and see if that's something you can be a part of.
And I also want to encourage you, if you feel a tug, even a tiny little tug, out of all these presentations today, get your passport. That's the first step, because you can't go anywhere. Well, you actually can go lots of places, you just can't get back here without a passport. So it's okay if you want to go and stay, like forever, but you're going to need a passport to get back in the United States. So it's, what, $75 or something like that?
It's around $100, okay. You get an application, but you need to get passport pictures. Yeah. But, it's not a big reach, and it's probably something you need to even go to some of the states, I understand, these days.
So our last guest this morning is one of the ones who actually got us started in the mission field years and years ago. Margaret and Layman had actually started our missions team and our missions ministries at the Springs. Layman passed away, 9 years ago, okay, yeah. But Margaret has still been active. Would you welcome Margaret Bishop? So Margaret is Margaret has been all over the world and has been involved in all kinds of different ministries. But in this last year, she had a chance to go do some hurricane relief with the Samaritans First. And so how did that go, and what did you learn then?
Can I just say one thing before I start talking about Samaritans First? When Ben was talking, it reminded me that for you retired people that like to serve but don't want to raise money, You can go suffer for Jesus in Hawaii like I did 6 years ago for 3 months for just the cost of your airfare. They will put you up, food and lodging, and you just work 5 days a week, have weekends off. You get to hear missionaries from all over the world. Some of the best worship services are there. So that's an opportunity for anybody of any age that wants to go to Hawaii or other places in the world, but why not Hawaii?
Shameless plug, there we go.
So I, like many and probably most of you, last August, I have big words. I'm not like Becky and put it on a little tiny piece of paper.
These are even bigger than mine.
I know. Well, wow. I'm older than you.
Yeah. Much.
Like 10 years older than you. Anyway, like
so we do this. Just so that you know.
He's the little brother I'm glad I never had.
And she's the much older sister that I always long for as well.
Anyway, so last summer, like probably most of you, I was watching TV and seeing so many people suffering in Houston mostly and surrounding areas, and just watching with horror, which turned to sadness, which turned to compassion, and what can I do? I wasn't really doing anything at the time. And so I had known about Samaritan's Purse, which is a quality organization, unbelievable organization run by Billy Graham's son, Franklin. And so I called Samaritan's Purse, put an invitation, and a couple months later I was in Rockport, Texas, which is outside of Corpus Christi. And for me, a 2-week mission trip is no big deal. I'm used to going places for 3 months or 2 years. And so I didn't really know what to expect. And I worked with laymen all around the world, in Mexico and Alaska and Africa. He was in construction, so I did that sort of thing to an extent, but he was kind of soft on me. And I didn't know what to expect when I got to Texas, but it was hard labor. And when I talked to people when I got there, they said, so how long are you staying? I said, oh, a couple weeks, 2 weeks. Most of them were staying for 3 to 5 days because it was hard work. I was there for 15 days and I worked 13 of those 15 days. We got up at 6 in the morning. Breakfast and group devotions were from 6:30 to 7:30, and then we gathered as a team and at 7:45.
Can we queue up some of the pictures that you got there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so that we could see.
We were assigned different teams, and we would gather as a team at 7:45, pray together, and then on the road to our location for the day. And they have wonderful team leaders, just really, really compassionate people. It was hard work, but our team leaders were very gracious. They said, work at your own pace, take as many breaks as you need to, because most of us were older, but there were young people there too that could stay for a weekend or, you know, 2 or 3 days, get off of work. But they said, drink lots of water and take breaks when you need to, and, you know, just go at your own pace. So I worked in 20 different homes, so I met 20 different homeowners, which was really, really cool. And Samaritan's Purse trains chaplains at the Billy Graham Center in North Carolina. And so every team was assigned 2 chaplains, and the chaplains would come out and visit throughout the day while we were working and pray for us, and go and pray for the homeowners and meet with them. And just a couple of stories about a few people that were ministered to by us. I mean, we had contact with the homeowners also. And so we had opportunity just to love people and share Jesus' love just by being there, basically, because they knew what we were. We all wore orange shirts, so we were called the Orange Angels there in that part of Texas. But I only worked in one home of a couple that was more well-off than most others, and their home had been flooded up to 4 feet, and there was still, so all of their furniture was gone. Bookcases full of mold, because by the time we got there, it was 2 months later, so everything was moldy and smelly. We wore gloves and masks, and so I had to go into this woman's house, and she was a really strong Christian, really a gracious, wonderful lady, came out and encouraged us every day and brought us donuts, and I had to sort through her beautiful clothes and purses, trying to salvage something and take all these books off the bookcase, and We didn't say anything was going in the trash. Our team leader said, we take it to the curb, because you took things that weren't salvageable to the curb, and then they had huge trucks that came all day long and picked up stuff, put it in piles in the middle of the road, in the middle of the median on the highway. And it's just unbelievable to, you know, you see these things on TV, but to be driving down street after street after street, see the destruction, and know that every house has a family in it, and that family's been affected. So that was Donna. And then there was a couple, Don and Anna. He was a Vietnam vet, and she was an Asian lady. And I saw her when we first got to her home. We were cleaning up outside for them. And when I first got there, I spoke to her because she came out of the house to go pick up their daughter from school. And she was nice enough, but when she came back, she and Don went in the house, and the chaplains went in and spoke to them. And we worked for 3 or 4 hours, and we were done with what we were supposed to do. And the chaplains hadn't come out of the house yet, so our leader, Candy, said, well, I'm not going in there and interrupting anything. We're just going to wait. So we waited out there, and finally when they came out, this woman who I spoke to earlier was totally transformed. Her face was just beaming. It was so exciting to know that during that time that the chaplains were in there talking with them, they both received Jesus and came out totally different people. It was really cool. Yes. And then there was one more lady that I'll tell you about. Her name is Annie. And she and her husband had raised 7 foster children, and most of them were gone, but Priscilla was 9 years old, and she was homesick that day when we were working in her yard. Her house had already been gutted, and she was living in the house with no running water, no electricity, and just bare studs, but that's the covering that they had for the time. And Priscilla was homesick, and her birthday was the next day. So one of the ladies on the team was a retired pediatrician, and so she had real heart for Priscilla, because she was sick also. And so we went out that evening and bought a bunch of stuff at Walmart for her and took an offering and went back the next day for Priscilla's birthday and gave her things that we had purchased in this large sum of money for Annie and her husband. And Annie was just totally overwhelmed, and Priscilla was just beaming that we had remembered her birthday and brought her some things. And her mom, Annie, told her, said, see, Priscilla, I told you that God was going to replace everything that was lost in the hurricane. And because, like I said, their house was completely empty and gutted because they had lost everything from the wind and the floods. You know, the rain came down and the floods came up, and then the wind blew things away. So it was, but Annie told us when she knew where we were from, she said, you know, I received Jesus in Houston at a Billy Graham crusade at the Houston Astrodome when I was in 7th grade. So here we were, you know, 50 years later, yeah, we came back and helped him. So the other day when I knew I was going to be sharing about this, I was reading my journal that I had written while I was there, and their names came up and their faces. I could put a face to each of them. And each of them has a story, and I try to remember to pray for them regularly, because Samaritan's Purse is going to be there for 2 more years because they're going to rebuild some of these houses. So I'm on the waiting list to get called back to take part in that too, and any of you that want to go with me. And it was physically the hardest work I've ever done in my life for, you know, that many days in a row, but it was very, very rewarding, and it was just really neat to be the hands and feet of Jesus and help people.
And you had said that Samaritan's Purse, basically you just had to pay to get there.
Just pay to get there. They put us up a huge Baptist church, 20 women in a room sleeping on our cots or air mattresses that we took. They had 3 rooms, so at one time there were over 100 of us volunteers. But yeah, the Baptist church put us up. Women that came with Samaritan's Purse, that if you don't like to work outside, that you can volunteer in the kitchen or stay at the church and do work around the church, because if you didn't feel like working that day, you could stay back. But I always went out, but you could stay back and they'd find something for you to do at the church. Great meals and just very, very gracious hosts for all of the Samaritan's Purse volunteers.
And that is one thing, when you go on mission trips, you usually don't come back hungry.
Right, lots and lots of food, and lots of new friends too. I've met people from all over the country that I'm still friends with on Facebook and text each other, and you know, it's just a great way to get to meet people.
And so I'm gonna give you a quick quick spot to give a shameless plug on. Margaret has worked pretty extensively in human trafficking and ending human trafficking and on the solution side of things.
Yes, first became interested in the issue of human trafficking probably 20 years ago. Watched a documentary on Dateline about some little tiny girls, 7, 8 years old, that were rescued out of a brothel in Cambodia. And my heart just broke, and I thought, I'd love to go over there and just hug these girls and tell them Jesus loves them and I care about them. But that kind of got put on the back burner, and when Layman passed away, I was looking for things that I could do as a single woman. And so I just started investigating and found a place in San Diego, right in my backyard. And I lived there for 2 years, a safe house for survivors of sex trafficking. I lived there for a little over 2 years as a house mom. And that really opened my eyes. It was an education, this little sheltered Baptist girl, to be thrown in with women of the world. And, but it was awesome. And sometimes when I left, I felt guilty for not being there anymore. But there's a handful of women that were at Generate Hope while I was there. And when they left Generate Hope, they still live in the area and they don't have any family here. So I'm a mentor and a mom to a handful of women that are still in the area. And I go down to San Diego, hang out with them, have lunch, and take them to the beach and just be their friend and a mom and a mentor. So still involved in that way.
Okay.
And I've got a bunch of statistics, but just let me say that most people, when they think of sex trafficking, they think of India, Cambodia, Thailand, but it is an epidemic here in the United States. And San Diego, where I was, is number 8 in the country as far as cities that have the worst problem with sex trafficking. And unfortunately, these days, gang members are getting involved, and gang members are becoming pimps, and they're much more violent and ruthless. And it's more lucrative to sell women over and over and over and over again than just a one-time drug sale or gun sale. So it's getting worse, not better. So I would just encourage you to go online and educate yourself and know what the dangers are, know what to look for. The experts encourage us not to approach anybody if you suspect something, but the hotline, the national hotline, is a number that you can call and report something, and you know, just stay there if you can until somebody comes. But just get to know what it's all about and look for the signs if you see somebody that you suspect might be trafficked. But there's so many websites to go to get yourself educated.
Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome.
Well, let me round this thing out a little bit, and then we'll worship for a little bit, and then we'll be done. Just a couple of things. One, we actually have some home mission work that's going on with George and Phoebe and the Chinese group there. They're really a mission to Mandarin-speaking people in the Temecula area in our valley area. We also have the Jimenezes that are doing ministry, and our Spanish speakers that are doing ministry to Spanish-speaking folks as well. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get involved. I want to do two different slides and just kind of go through them very quickly. But I think when we think of missions, we typically think of the jungle, and we think of going and staying somewhere along. There's just a lot of different ways that you can be involved in missions. So I want to give you firstly a spectrum of that, of missions. So let's go through this really quickly. You can do relief work like Margaret was doing with Samaritan's Purse. You can do building projects like we do frequently down in Mexico and all over the place, either local or translocal internationally. You can do international aid work as well, all kinds of things, medical, and there's all kinds of opportunities to do that. All these things you can pony up to, and you can join. You can sponsor a child. This is a big one, and a big way that resource-rich Americans can make a huge difference in kids' life is you can sponsor a child through, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but you've got Breath of Heaven, Children's Village, you have Harmony Outreach has kids that you can sponsor, Samaritan's Purse, I think, World Vision, there's just a ton of different people that are major players in making a difference this way. I didn't know what to call YWAM, so I just put YWAM in its own little category. That is, you can go there to some ghastly, beautiful place in the world, get discipled, get your foundations reinforced, and then go out and apply that. That's why we have, you have just going on mission trips, which we will be doing. We're due a trip to Ghana coming up sometime soon, but you can go on a mission trip. You can go and do outreaches, both local in south of the border, in Baja, all kinds of different places all over the world. And you can work for justice on a global scale, working like Christina is. All of those different things, and I'm sure I'm forgetting about, I don't know, 100 things. But I want to give you a survey of those things so that you can begin to think, what's my part work? How do I get involved? So that's just a survey of the spectrum of those things. Let me give you just a really quick idea of, if we had it the way that we wanted, and we were unlimitedly funded, and we had lots of people that wanted to participate, what are some of the things we'd like to do? Well, firstly, we would like to be able to help Heidi and Daniel in Kamloops with their Open Arms Ministry. That, as we've talked about before, we'll be giving you, and there's some information, there's a website at least on your program and your bulletin. We would like for you to pray about going to YWAM or to partnering with E3. Talk to Joey, talk to Linda about partnering with E3 and going on a mission trip. Harmony Outreach has mission trips as well that you can go on, or ones that we are doing as well. You can sponsor a child through Breath of Heaven. That's a big deal for me because Ted Lawler is one of my accountability partners. He and Lance and I meet together every week, but when Ted is in town, he's with us, and the whole thing, is a really close friend of mine. I really would like for us to be a part of that in a more significant way going forward. You can sponsor a missionary, a church planter in the IET, Indian Evangelical Team. That's the group of people. That's the next one. You have Samaritan's Purse. We're a good relief work at Samaritan's Purse. You have IET, Indian Evangelical Team, and sponsoring a missionary there. You have Cornerstone Charities, which is Margaret, is the missions organization that Margaret Lehman founded a long time ago. And they do trips and relief work and all kinds of different stuff like that, too. So those are some places where we really like to be going. Now, what's our response? The first thing I think that has to be for any Christian in these kind of situations is that we need to pray. We need just to say, okay, Lord, what's my part? And if you ask what's my part, the Lord will tell you what's your part. Okay, so it's a dangerous prayer. And I remember as a kid, you know, thinking, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. Just don't make me a missionary. And then I realized what an inferior, incredibly ghastly inferior prayer that was. Because when I started to pray and cooperate with that, I started to go to all kinds of different places in the nation and in the world. It changed my life. And then I wanted to participate with what God is doing on a much grander scale. Does that make sense? So pray. Second thing is imagine. Allow the Lord to stir your imagination. Some of you are like, gosh, I'm really kind of leaning toward that or toward this. Let your imagination go with God. Lord, what would it look like if I stepped out? What would it look like? Well, you know, well, I don't have any money. Well, you belong to the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has all the resources, period. So what would the Lord have you do? If resources were not an issue, what would the Lord have you do? Thirdly, and this is the easiest one and the hardest one, is go. Go. Get on, you know, get ready, sign up for a trip and go on a mission trip and talk to some of these people. How do I take the next step? What do I do? You go. A fourth way to respond to this is we're going to have an interest meeting coming up on, not next Sunday, but that Super Bowl Sunday, but the Sunday after that. We're going to have an interest meeting right after church with lunch. And you don't have to join our team, but ideally we would like people that are interested just in knowing more and people that would like to serve on our missions team as well. So we want to build a much broader and stronger missions team than we have it presently. And so we would invite you to come to that. And Tom and I will both be there for that meeting, and we would love for you to come. Anything else,
Sigmund? Well, I just want to encourage you to come, and again, thank you for the support that we've had through the last year. And again, encourage you to be able to help support these ministries, and beyond that, to expand the ministries that we can support. There's a lot of great organizations out there, but we've got these personal connections with these ones, so we would like to be able to step up.
Yeah. And then last way that you can support in this, and this is the way that we would like for every family in our church to pray about this, is that we do this thing called the Missions Pledge. At the end of every January, at the end of these, at the end of the missions Mission Sunday, we ask and appeal to every individual and or family in our church and ask you to pray about and ask God, what would you have me give over and above my normal tithes and offerings into World Mission, into participating with what you're doing on the earth? And then you would fill that out. It's the same form on the top and the bottom. One would be you tear it in half, and you'll hand them in next week. And that will tally up all of the pledges that we have, which we'll collect monthly. And that will tell us how much we can actually pledge toward our missionaries that we support, etc. But that gives us something to promise them. Does that make sense? So we're asking every person that calls that springs their church home that you would pray about this, and you would ask God, and then you would fill out the top and the bottom. You would give next Sunday the bottom or the church part, the bottom part, and then you keep the other part of your Bible just as a reminder so that you can follow through with what you pledge to give. You can give to missions anytime that you want to, but on the last Sunday of the month, we typically will pray for and ask God that you would put those in your normal offerings as well. Does that make sense? So if you have any questions about that, I know this was very long, but we had a lot that we wanted to kind of parade in front of you. And thank you, all of you who presented this morning, very much. We're delighted and proud of you that you're taking these steps out. This is awesome. Thank you. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Lord, we want to participate with you on the global scale. And so we ask you, in that very simple way, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. We don't want to sit on the sideline any longer. And I believe that today, Lord, that you are transitioning some people from the sidelines into the game. And I pray, Lord, that we would hear and respond, even if we're scared, that we would respond to you and take those steps. We ask, Lord, that you would show us what our part is in terms of giving resources into missions. Lord, with the missions pledge, speak to us, Lord, what you would have us give, and we would give that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said,